Rams fans, this is Ali Faroknesh, your head men's basketball coach at Colorado State University, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
It's time for Keeling Me Softly with Sean Keeler. And well done, Sean. Your story available at DenverPost.com. We're talking a lot about a backup quarterback, so why not go out and get some of the bigger name backup quarterbacks in Broncos history? I loved this story by you.
Thank you, sir. Legends. Legend. Is that like a contradiction in terms, legendary backup quarterbacks?
In this case, it kind of fits.
Yeah, considering that, like, in every NFL town, the most popular guy, air quotes, is always the backup QB. Denver is not one of those towns because they've had good QBs more often than not, and guys who won a lot. But if you had to pick legends because they were backups to the same guy in basically the biggest sports figure in Denver history, they're pretty good ones, and they're good guys. So, yeah, good to talk to Bubby Brister and to Gary Kubiak earlier this week about Jared Stidham.
Sean, I'm going to have to buy you lunch or something. I would love an opportunity to talk to Bubby Brister. Yes, I would love.
Yes.
Dude, I loved Bubby. I love the guy, man, and I've never talked to him before. Look, I'm jealous, Sean.
I love a free lunch, so I think you've got a date. We'll
okay.
make that work.
Yeah, I'll let Michael run the show one day, and I'll come down, and I'll come to you. I'll go to Denver. I haven't been down there in a while. Yeah.
All right.
I don't know if I'm allowed there. I don't know if I can make it there. I might get lost on the way. But, no, this was great. And, again, the whole thing kind of just takes me back. Now, Kubiak, I was a little young, but Bubby Brister for me was – I mean, I remember actually reading stories in the Denver Post when Elway went down, and it was like, oh, man, how are they going to do this without John? Their Super Bowl hopes are gone. And Bubby kind of, you know, he helped keep this team above water.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a different circumstance in that regular season is not.
Yeah, true, yeah.
Yeah, a one-off you know, against the number two seed in your own conference. But their points to me, and it's funny, is talking to both of them separately, they both said the same thing. And they both literally said, just do your job. Just worry about you. And this was what Gary told me on the phone. This is what Bubby told me when I got him later in the week. And I don't think they conferred with each other on this. So with that, therefore, I call that a consensus.
Mm-hmm.
With two people smarter than me, who know the game better than I, say the same thing. And I think it's also, there's a little bit of that of, in the case of Bubby, is don't get too much out ahead of your skis, to use a Colorado term a little bit, and that you've got a good enough team around you that you shouldn't have to. Now, this offense isn't the 98 Broncos offense. I think there needs to be some qualifiers in that context. The weapons just aren't the same. The line's good. Y'all stack that line up with as good as the offensive lines in Broncos history have been, and certainly go back to Gibbs and the other great coaches you've had here. I don't know that we're there, but it's good. It's certainly in that pantheon, in that top three. I think there are some parallels, but it's not a perfect one. But Bubby and Gary both like, hey, you could do it. You just gotta be within yourself, and everybody has to be on point as well, because the point also is that he's gonna need help. He's gonna need a lot more help than Bo did, because he can't do the improv stuff and the running stuff that Bo did. And that's what worries me about this game and about this matchup and about any game, not just the New England game with Stidham as a starter, is that I think Stidham can execute plan A and maybe plan B on a passing route or a passing play. There may not be a lot of big drop-off from Bo Nix, right?
Yeah.
Okay, what happens when it all goes to hell? You know, every fourth to fifth play goes to hell, because that's the point in this league, and that's where you separate the men from the boys in that position. And I don't know I don't know what Jared Stidham does when stuff breaks down and hits the fan. That's the only thing that worries me. You know, does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, and you made a point too about how, hey, it's not, you know, when those guys took over for John, we're talking regular season compared to where we are now, but you're also, you know, you're taking over for the man, the legend, John Elway. So even though it's not the same kind of game pressure, it's the pressure of replacing John Elway. So it's just kind of fascinating to hear or to read their comments, too, of just kind of what was going through their brain throughout that process. Because that's, I mean, again, one bad game in that season could be like, oh, we're done. You know, we're done. And without Elway, you know, they're not going to be able to hold down the fort. You cost us our Super Bowl. There was a lot of crazy pressure on both of those guys.
Yeah, and Gary is a very parallel there because he played, what did he play in, 2 or 3 games a year? Maybe on average, maybe no more than 2, and they were he didn't get a lot of work behind John, but that his last appearance, his last game as a pro, was that 1991/92 AFC Championship game in Buffalo, and that tends to get lost because it was it doesn't bring up a lot of happy memories. That 91 Broncos team was nasty. That was a great defense with a lot of Hall of Fame, borderline Hall of Fame type dudes, and John gets beat up, I think, in the third quarter, takes that thigh injury, and he couldn't even finish his news conference. Like, this is a big guy who's in a bad place after that game. And Gary comes in moderately cold and completes 11 of 12 passes in Buffalo at the peak of the Marv Levy Bills era, mind you, the K-Gun, the Jim Kelly era, and gets him back from a 10-0 deficit, scores a touchdown, it's 10-7. They recover the onside kick, I think, with like a minute 50 left, whatever it is. Sewell fumbles. Buffalo gets the ball back, and there just isn't enough time. And Buffalo hangs on and wins 10-7 and then goes to the Super Bowl and gets crushed. Or is that the one with the kick? Anyway, yeah. That was a bad AFC. It was a bad era for the AFC in Super Bowls. My childhood, the late 80s and early 90s. But regardless, yeah, Coombs has really been there. And so if anybody in Broncos history, he might have the most commonality with what Jared Stidham is about to go through. And he said, and the good thing is, Jared, I think that's in the column, that's up at DenverPost.com. He said, if there's a difference, is that at least Jared gets a whole week, if not more, to work with the ones, 8 days, whatever the prep, because they turn the page pretty quick. And I'll give Sean Payton credit for that. A lot of coaches faced with, you know, that hour and a half is something I'll never forget, because I told my wife, who doesn't like sports, I said, it's sort of like, pick your president. Let's just say Kennedy. It's like Kennedy wins your headline gathering for news. Kennedy wins presidency, and we're all writing this. And an hour later, Kennedy shot. I'm like, everything changed. Everything in the narrative changed. Everything about the mood changed in that moment. But Sean took a breath, came out, and just laid it all on the table and said, we're turning the page. And some coaches might have let that thing linger for 72 hours and wait for the Schefter tweet try to play games about maybe we'll get Bo ready and then on Tuesday say, well, maybe he's not. Nope. It's Stiddy time. Here we go. So and maybe that was as much as probably for his team, more so, and it doesn't care about us and anything for the media. But it was probably the right thing to do, and we'll see if it pays off.
Yeah, it was a different side to Sean Payton. Would you agree, Sean, when seeing that press conference?
Well, it was on it. I mean, I think Sean's pretty honest anyway, and when he gets unhinged, when he does, that's Sean too, because people who have worked for him will tell you that on game day, he's just not a good guy. He's just not fun. He is just dialed in the way that, air quote, geniuses, air quote, are kind of can get into. He gets his game face on, and he's a different guy. And sometimes when he yells at columnists and writers, I think he's still got his game face on, and that he doesn't know how to kind of turn that off. I think he had turned it off. You know, we're talking, what, 70 minutes, 75 minutes after the game by that point. And then he's like, well, I've got a rational decision to make. And he did. Like, let's put it this way. You think Bill Belichick, even in his prime, would have said, Tom Brady's done, and here we go. We're going to be fine with Matt Castle in that moment.
Yeah.
I don't think he would have told people that. I don't know that he would have, even though it would have been, air quote, the right things to do. So, I mean, props for Sean there, because that's the reality. I mean, you instantly almost in this environment, and I give credit for Sean for having been here and knowing what to do here. He does. or at least what's worked for him here and what hasn't, but also what has. And in that moment, you said, we cannot mourn. We can mourn later. If they get beat this weekend or they get beat in the Super Bowl, we will have 5 to 8 months to mourn. We cannot mourn now. We must say, how can I win? And this is his mentality. It should be everyone's mentality in Dove Valley. How can I win a football game against a whatever, 14-3, 15-3, or their 16th, whatever they are, the Patriots record? How can I win against the second-best team in my conference, even at home, with 8 as my QB? What is going through my head right now? And I can do it. How can I do it? And worry about Bo later.
Well,
and that's not to be callous to Bo, but that's the mentality you have to go on now. The train has to keep going. The show must go on.
Well, and there's a lot of people, you know, you're bringing up comparisons in Broncos country, you know, for Broncos historic backup quarterbacks. Obviously, there's a lot of people that are looking at the Nick Foles situation. And for, honestly, for Jarrett Stidham, it's like, if you go out and you have a game and you lead the Broncos to the Super Bowl, and we're not even talking about the actual Super Bowl, and you somehow, you look good, all that, you could get a contract out of this. I mean, you could be, you know, get a really good deal.
Yep.
And if you really go off and do it twice in a row and you have an amazing two-game stretch and the offense actually flows all game, you might even have a conversation in the offseason about who the number one quarterback is. And I know it's crazy to say that, but that's what's in front of us right now, potentially. Maybe a small percentage chance of that, but that's what's in front of us.
And that's probably the best-case scenario, isn't it? You talk about good problems to have. Like, wow. How amazing would that be? I don't know that that's likely, but to your point, and this is coming from someone who covered Scott Mitchell and liked Scott Mitchell. He's a good guy. I don't know that he was a great QB. You know, backups can have that moment. You know, you can be that guy. I cover Kurt Warner. I know people who grew up with Kurt Warner. You know, this happens in this league. Boy, it's just really rare that happens on this stage and at this moment and in this matchup. But I think for all involved, I think the Broncos are, let's just be real, they're playing with house money. And you should probably, you know, they should play the disrespect card again. I think they played a little of that last week. I think you really got to play it now because, let's face it, even in the front range, I mean, last week most front range thought you could win, but no one outside it did. And now this week, I don't know what the percentage is in your office, but I'm sure there's some, you know, there's a little more doubt, and justifiably. And it's absolutely 100% almost are you expected to lose outside of the Bronco fan base. So I think it's a win. It's a win-win for anything you do positive this way. Like I would contend, and maybe we'll get to write this, that if Sean Payton can coach a Jared Stidham led offense to a Super Bowl, even if he doesn't win it, doesn't that give you some Hall of Fame juice? Mm-hmm. Like, doesn't that make that case of, you know, it's in a way, I'm sure there's a part of Sean, you know, does have an ego too, that he's thinking, if I do this, who's done better? Shula? Earl Morrow played a lot with those Dolphins teams. I mean, you're hard pressed to find a better ratio of coaching a less experienced, maybe less talented, but certainly less experienced quarterback into the biggest game in America. That takes some doing all by itself, even if he does not win it, which would be a whole other level of bat caca, crazy. For the reasons you talk about. But, you know, yeah, I mean, is that on the table? Yeah. Do you have to squint to kind of see it? Yeah, that too.
Yeah, it is kind of crazy. I mean, that's what a guy like Nick Foles, I mean, I see him tweeting out about this, you know, using his fame from that moment when taking over for Carson Wentz and doing what they did, of course. That's with him forever now. He gets to be that guy. He gets to now be the professional on the topic of what a backup quarterback is being, when a backup quarterback is being thrust into a tough situation and then leading his team to the ultimate prize.
And it's proof that it can be done, and it's the most fresh one in everybody's minds. I do think it's unique.
Oh, yeah.
I think everyone has to keep that in mind. I think he was a little more ensconced. Wentz was hurt a lot. Bo has not been that here. So there are differences a little bit with that Eagles situation. I mean, let's be clear about that. I mean, it probably has more in common with the guys I mentioned in the column, and that is since there's been, I think, he's the seventh quarterback Stidy is to start, make his first start in any given season since 1950 in a playoff game.
Yeah, I saw that. That's wild.
Other guys since 2000 are all 0-3. None of them threw, I think, more than one TD in that game. I think the average line was like 220 passing yards, one touchdown, two picks. And their team scored 16 points. I'm going to keep everyone keep that last number in mind. I think if you can hold New England, non-Tom Brady New England, was it 2018, 10 years ago? If you can hold New England under 20 points, you got a shot to win this game. I don't care if it's Brady Hall's at quarterback. You got a shot to win this game. But you are going to have to hold them probably at least under 21 points, if that makes sense. I think that goes without saying, and that puts the onus back on the defense, back on the run game, back on getting points when you got them in the red zone and being better at that than you have been, frankly. So, remember, they won 2018. This defense, you could win that kind of game, but you're going to have to be – well, I guess, it goes back to the upside of why many in Broncos country can still see this happening is, geez, have you watched this team? The defense carried them all year long. Like, they'll find a way defensively because they have. And I can't argue with that. And fortunately, even if you're Sean and had drawn up the best thing in the world, you're still leading with Vance's side of the ball. They're going to have to carry you over the line, and especially – in this game. But I keep that 20-21 points in mind. I think even those backups got them an average of 16-17 points a game. I think you can score 16-17 points with Jared Stidham. How much more than that? I don't know. So I think keeping it under that 21 mark goes without saying.
Well, and this is what's interesting to me. Like, if you're a fan of Bo Nix and you're also being realistic, if you think Bo Nix is really going to become that guy, replacing him in 3 years might be more colossal than it is right now. I mean, the last 2 years, he's been good. He hasn't, in my opinion, at least, Sean, I don't know if I'd say great in those situations where they're down and he has to work some miracles. But throughout a game, I mean, how many times this year have you covered this? Have we talked about it where the Boo Birds are coming out? The offense can't move. So. The idea that, hey, this is Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes, and I don't think anybody's saying that, but that's also why I'm not jumping off the cliff necessarily. If you were going to pick the Broncos to lose anyway, well, it's probably safe to stay that course, but I don't know if you thought Denver could really win this thing, that this drop-off is as major as we've seen in the past with other backup quarterback situations.
It's pretty big. I mean, I'm with you, and we have to, again, keep in mind what we've talked about with this whole season is how the offense, and to some degree Bo, have felt like a letdown. But I think that clutch thing can't be discounted as well. I'm going to counter you on there in that how much of this, how good has this team been, and how good has Bo been running the two-minute offense?
He's been incredible. That part, yes.
How big were the, let me put it this, I hope I'm wrong on this. Because I'll go back to the things that Bo can do that Stidham can't. One, the mobility, making something out of nothing. That's one. Not getting sacked. That's another. Get ready for that. You're going to notice that right away.
That's a good one.
Third and 17s are not a thing with Bo Nix, and Peyton loves that. They are a thing with Jared Stidham. And what do you do when you know, we're back to the Shadur life. Like, this is not someone who has great pocket to get rid of it recognition or that quick twitch to get rid of it the way that Bo does. It's survival instinct. So you have that. Three, two-minute drills. Like, how good is Bo? How big, again, go back to the Bills game. How big was that final minute of the second quarter and first minute of the third quarter for what became the ultimate? Did they win this game without that? No. And that's a drive. That's a turnover, at least a drive. with another drive right before that, and then not as good of a drive coming out of halftime. But you get basically, was it 13 free points, 10 free points out of that? I don't know that Steedy can't do that, but I know that Bo has been doing that, and that's back to the clutch thing, all year long. Like, I tell people, they ask me, oh, Bo Nix's stats aren't that good. And when you turn the Broncos on, you have him on red zone, you know, we're all casual four screen watchers. You turn him on, and then we see the box score, and he's not killing it for my fantasy team. He's not that guy, but he is that guy at the end of halves and at the end of games and in close games. And you lose that too. And I don't know objectively what the point fall off from that is going to be, the scoreboard fall off from that is going to be, but that's not insignificant either. You know what I mean? So I keep going back to those three things of, you know, your producer said, you know, Broncos going to win. I'm like, probably not. But I said the same thing last week because I was falling in love with the Josh Allen narrative, and Josh Allen turned it over with four times. In Denver, Drake May could turn it over four times, and then it doesn't matter because all Stiddy's got to do is hand off. And if all Stiddy's got to do is hand off, you're always going to win that game. But I don't think this is one of those where it's going to be the case.
Speaking of handing the ball off, Sean, are we going to see J.K. Dobbins in this game?
I think we are. But
wow.
I'm not speaking,
wow.
Yeah, but I don't put your money on. It's kind of up to his camp as much as anything, because he's the one putting future earnings at risk. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, he's not under contract, after this year.
He wants to be there, but he also wants to get paid and wants to prove that he's healthy. And that's more important to him business-wise long-term than trying to get 20 to 30 snaps in on one good leg in a do-or-die, you know, huge AFC championship. I know he wants to. I'm sure they want to. Although, to be really cynical about this, what does Sean care about the run game anyway?
We're getting excited about a running back that might only get 12 carries, even fully healthy.
He was the best offensive player they had and still didn't touch the ball as much as he should have because his coach is obsessed with running his routes. And, you know, so... Yeah, I'm with you. I think there's a really good chance, but I wonder how critical that's going to be. Although it certainly would help, you know. History says your defense, your run game travel well and will take you a long way, regardless of who's behind center. But with this coach, I don't know.
Well, Sean, great job by you as always, my friend, and hopefully we're talking about we're looking at the Super Bowl with the Denver Broncos. Hopefully something crazy happens, and that's what we're focused on in the next 2 weeks.
Let's talk about good problems.
I like
good
it.
Good problems are fun. Yeah.
All right.
Like that.
All right,
I'll
my friend.
Work on our free lunch. We'll get that squared away.
We'll get it going because I'll do it for Bubby Brister's number. That's my
all
price.
Right. All right.
And of course, the friendship, Sean. Yeah, the friendship part of it, too,
yes,
right?
Of course. Yeah. We wouldn't even told about that.
All right, my man. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. See ya. Thanks, Mike.
All right. So Sean's kind of pushing back on the whole, it's a pretty significant drop off. Well, here's what I always say. Quarterbacks that are always in kind of a come-from-behind situation, well, you could argue if you have a great quarterback, they're not always in those positions. And listen, man, this is not me knocking Bo Nix. I know we got a break, Mike. I think in 3 years, replacing Bo Nix is going to be a hell of a lot harder than it is right now. I think he's coming into his own. I think that Buffalo Bills game really was a big step for him. 45 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the Local Sports Slash.